It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I thought it was Carjala.
No.
What is it?
Carjali.
Carjali.
Well,
come on,
Carjali.
Man.
Carjali. Carjali.
I don't think you know what it's called.
I do know what it's called.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I was watching a rerun of your Carjali Cup yesterday.
Yes, Carjali
Might
Cup.
Might be a Jerry's. Think it's worthy to say that at least one player from Canada will parlay this into a job in the NHL?
I would say 100%.
I think so, too.
Because it's not just guys like
Randy. I just watched some of the players. I'm like, how could that guy not play in the NHL?
Okay, you got to remember the competition they're up against.
I get it.
Yeah. Like, you know, we can watch the Spengler Cup and be like, that guy's Gretzky. Well, he's playing.
You're right. And here's a great point, because last year at the World Championships, Chris Lee, the 36-year-old defenseman, everyone was like, this guy's got to get an NHL job. And I kept thinking to myself, he's 36. We keep getting on guys like Phaneuf, who's 31. Oh, he's getting old and near the end of his career. This guy's 36.
He got a PTO, I think, in LA. I want to say.
Yeah, and didn't make the team.
Didn't make the team.
So there's a reason why, but I still believe there's good players over there. Teddy Purcell. There's Rennie Bork. There's Mason Raymond. Like, if I'm a team that needs depth NHL experience, I am looking in that direction.
I would look at it, but again, you got to ask yourself, like, how much have you invested in kids that could play the same role and maybe give you the same
performance?
I would much rather play a kid.
You're right, but it depends on the depth that you have, because we see it all the time internally with teams. They think they've got the next guy coming. And when that
guy... The Leafs are coming to that too, Jamie. It's like they're going to have to say... Can Soshnikov replace Komarov? Like,
I don't think he really? Well, he's got to be up right now because of that KHL rule and that. But, like, I personally think, like, they're at a crossroads with Soshnikov. They've got to be at a crossroads with Josh Leibovitz.
Well, that's the question. I mean, if you're not familiar with it, Soshnikov got called up today because there was a clause in his contract that if he's not in the NHL, he can leave for the KHL or he can field KHL offers. And his agent, I'm not sure who it was, came out recently and said, at this point, we're not fielding them. Well, of course, you're going to say that publicly, but
right.
I get the impression, like, Lou and company were pretty well aware that if they didn't call him up, this guy would be halfway to Moscow right now, because that's why he's up. You know, he's up here. He's not. I don't think he's going to play. Like, they sent the GOAT down, and the GOAT didn't even get a sniff of the lineup. And when Matthews comes out or comes back, and we presume he'll be back in the lineup on Thursday, that means...
Right.
Probably Levo's coming out. But if Levo's coming out, you're dealing with a cap issue, you're dealing with a numbers issue. Someone's got to go down. And if Soshnikov is staying up, if Levo's going down, he's going on waivers.
I think they're going
to... So something has to happen here.
But here's a simple question. Is Soshnikov worth losing Levo? I say no. Personally.
So you'd say let him go to the KHL if he wants to.
I believe that there are players within the organization that have leapfrogged him on the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I think Soshnikov's an energy guy. He's got a good shot, but he's never going to play higher in your lineup. I don't see him ever playing on a third line. And they've got ample fourth line players. That's what depth does for you. Josh Levo's having a tough time getting in the lineup. Dominic Moore, Eric Fair. Now, I know Fair's down, but I'm just saying, like, there are players that you can use ahead of Soshnikov. It's awful, and you know, I'm sure he's a great guy, and he works hard, and he's a little bit of a you-know-what disturber and all of that. But that's the beauty of having depth when you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, is there are people like Kapanen. Who'd you rather have in your lineup?
Oh, Kapanen, I'm taking Kapanen all day. Now, Babcock looks at it differently because he looks at roles.
Correct.
Soshnikov kills penalties.
Yeah,
although Kapanen was doing that as well.
It's no slight on him. It's more the strength of your organization.
Yeah, no, I'm hearing what you're saying. But I guess I think what Soshnikov needs is an injury, and he needs it to Komarov or Hyman or
Somebody
Brown. Someone in that role.
Right.
Because if a skilled guy goes down, if Marner goes down, I think they call up Kapanen. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of, and that speaks to depth, that you have the ability to call someone up who can play a specific role.
I agree.
Now, they don't have anyone sitting there who's going to take over for Matthews. That's why the GOAT came up and didn't play, and they moved Marlowe to the middle of the ice.
Correct.
But you can bring up gritty players or checking players or players of different status, and maybe they won't perform to the same extent, and that's why the one guy's in NHL and the other guy's in the American Hockey League.
Right.
But he can bring you a similar viewpoint and a similar style of play.
But that's a decision for them. Is, I'm not putting Soshnikov in and pulling Levo out or putting him on waivers. And
if you're going to, if you're basically dealing with, you're going to lose one or the other. Which one are you going to pick?
Exactly.
And I think they would more than likely pick Levo to stick around. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. What's happening, Ray?
No, not much. Dodging the rain. It's winter out here, man.
So it rains during the winter?
From now till March.
Yeah, but you don't have to shovel rain.
Yeah, but if I see a glimmer of sunlight noodles between now and the end of February, it'll be when I'm not in Vancouver.
I know. It is. It's depressing, and people do get depressed because of it. But my family, when they moved out to Vancouver, my brother still lives out there, he had no problem leaving Alberta behind.
Really?
He said, he's like, I don't have to shovel rain. And it doesn't get minus 30 in Vancouver.
No, you just get a really good umbrella, and then off you go.
Every day, though, that's so annoying.
Coming on this show every day.
Well, yeah, I know that. you got the weekends off. But
oh, do I look forward to that.
I would rather like a deep shovel once a week than rain every day.
Me too.
Because, yeah, you don't
I
have
just
to
need
shovel
to see
rain.
The sun. That's all I care
I'll
about.
Take
Give me
the
something
rain.
Every
I'll
once
take
in a
the
while.
Rain.
You'll take rain every day. Like Ray's saying, every day it's raining out there.
It's a pain in the butt. How are the drivers when the rain comes?
All slow, erratic.
Yeah, very erratic.
I'll tell you what the toughest part, honestly, is like the rain you can take. It's just there's never, it seems like, any sunlight. And that gets pretty heavy, man. It's like, holy smokes, just a little sun would be nice once in a while.
Ray, I made a statement in the last hour that rattled some cages. The statement, I said I would call Jose Theodore before I got Niemi and say, can you give me 10 days? I would go there before I went to Niemi.
When Mark Bergevin said, you know, Niemi gives him a bit of a safety net.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, man, that net has got huge holes in it.
Well, John Liu sent the email, this makes sense, and I just wanted to write, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I would have called Jose Theodore or J.S. Giguere or somebody in Quebec and said, can you lace him up for 10 days? Like, is that... I'm being serious. I wouldn't do anything before that guy.
Well, when Pittsburgh signed him this summer, immediately when I saw that, I'm like, I wonder why him? Like, the wheels are off. They talk about, he won a Stanley Cup in 2010. That's 7 years ago. That was the worst goaltended series that I can remember.
There's that stat, Ray. I think you've quoted it, too, is eight of the 16 wins, they allowed four or more goals, I believe it was.
The first game was 6-5. It was an awesome game because neither guy could stop a shot. And so, there was times Niemi, yes, he's a battler and he works hard and, the guys really like him and all that sort of stuff. But eventually you got to stop the puck. And I just don't think he can do it at the NHL level anymore. And so I'd be concerned that, Price taking a couple of days off, and they hope, of course, that the 2 days off help him springboard forward and, the days off help him get a little more healthy. But if that doesn't work, you've got Charlie Lindgren and Niemi, and they better hope that Lindgren is this year's version of Mike Condon, who saved Ottawa's season last year.
Yep. Well, and not to mention they're starting behind the eight ball. Like they're starting to win, and they've been winning recently, but they began, what was it, 0-6 or something like that? Like they started off so poorly they do not have the ability to take their foot off the gas at all.
They don't, they can't afford to put Niemi in a net.
They played the card. Yeah, you get one horrible 10-game stretch a year if you want to be a playoff team. One. You have more than that, you're in big trouble.
Well, because they're going to lose three in a row at some point. So they play Columbus tonight. I think they can get to 5-1 if they win tonight. But let's say they win and then lose. Well, then all that work, you're 9-12. Like, it's just so hard to dig out of the hole. And eventually the bubble's going to burst a little bit on Lindgren. It always does. Right? Any guy that comes up, they play well for, if they get to this level, like Lindgren, they play great for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, but eventually you take a step back. And, I mean, then they've got Montoya when he gets healthy. They got Niemi. They don't want to play Fucali. And then you're hoping for Price. And that still seems like the best option for them.
Well, I've been saying this all afternoon. Why would you believe anything Bergevin, Price, Pacioretty has to say about a Price injury, considering what happened 2 years ago, where they kept saying the same thing? He's right around the corner. My understanding, very minor. Should be back any day now. Missed the whole year. So why would you believe anything?
Sorry, Drouin just said, I listened to a clip of his. He said, tweaked something. It's not very serious, but we don't really know because the trainers don't say anything.
Right,
but
exactly.
They don't know anything, and especially in Montreal, those guys they're not sharing any information. Although I would say, especially Montreal, the same in Toronto. I mean, you get a better chance of finding out Lou's driver's license number than you do of what happened to Austin Matthews.
Well, that's where I was bringing this up, Ray, and what's up. For me, I'm dumbfounded by it. With the amount of information that's out there, I mean, we can't find out what's wrong with Austin Matthews. Like, teammates, like, nobody's leaked it to a family member or anything. And it's the same thing. Like, Mario Tremblay came out and started spouting about Galchenyuk, what was that, a couple weeks ago? Like, if the insiders in Montreal want to dig around, I'd love to know what's wrong with Carey Price. Then we could try and piece together. Okay, what is a diagnosis? It's amazing. They want to talk the nonsense about the noise outside the team. Dig around inside the team. There's got to be somebody that knows what's wrong with them.
Somebody would say something. But if you really chase it down, somebody, eventually one of the guys will tell somebody something, unless they don't know anything. Like, right. Unless the training staff, says nothing. I mean, sure, I'm sure everybody knows it's either a groin or a hip flexor or a knee.
Right.
They say it's got nothing to do with 2 years ago. So if we take them at their word, I don't know why, and so then it's not a knee. So then it's a hip flexor or a groin. What else? Hamstring. What else can it be?
Right.
And so to say it's a week or 10 days, nobody would know that. We all know those things are unpredictable. I mean, noodles for a goalie, I'd assume it's even more unpredictable. The first time you go down and you get back up and you tweak it again, well, then you go backwards. Now you got to wait again.
Well, you heard Carey say that it wasn't, but he said it's something that hasn't healed. But
he also referenced his position.
Right, he said position specific, which is, to me, is hip, to what Ray said. It's hip, groin, or hamstring, something.
Well, in the bigger conversation that will be hanging over him and Bergevin and the team for the next 9 years is the commitment with the contract, where you gave him 8 years of $10.5 million, and the goaltending position can fluctuate week in, week out, let alone season over season.
With his past, that was the going rate.
That was more than likely the going rate, but it's still a commitment that you had to make. And if he's got injury problems, and if the position can lead him to missing more games because of those injury problems, it's just going to be a constant conversation forever. Like, they've committed to him.
And they don't deal, and they, of course, they don't share any information, so there will always be babble around it, right? There'll always be speculation, and we'll always be trying, he misses a game or two, and we'll all be trying to figure it out. Is it related to the last time? Is it, sometimes I think if you give a little information, then it shuts the whole thing down, but teams obviously don't think so.
No, they're terrified of that. And you could win a Pulitzer, if you found a way to break this news, if you found out how to break what Price has or what Matthews has, like the International Journalism Society would recognize
it. I would
because
bet,
it's impossible.
I would bet a lot of money that our insiders know, but they can't break that story because that's their sources. They can't.
If the GM's giving it to them off the record,
exactly,
and saying, then of course you can't break that code. But you would think there are other avenues. Like the players know. The players know.
Yeah, the players may know. That's the thing. It's, I'm sure there's guys that, I think half the players would know, and I think maybe you guys could weigh in on this. Half of them are oblivious to what's going on. They know Carey's hurt, and that's it.
Well, I always, like, you're looking around at the guy, he's got an ice pack on his shoulder. It's probably his shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying,
I'm not
like,
the smartest guy, but.
Wouldn't you be interested in that, though? It's Carey Price. It's not the seventh defense.
Oh, yeah. People always go up to you and say, what's up with you? What's going on?
Right. And what's he going to say? Oh, can't talk, guys. See you later and run away? He's not going to do that.
I'm sure
So the answer's the same all the time. Yeah, it's getting a little better.
Yeah.
Like, what do you say after a while when you're hurt? You're like, there's no answers. Guys ask you every day. It seems like somebody's, hey, how you doing? No, not bad. Getting better. Like,
the way things are today, I wouldn't be shocked if they had that kind of policy. Like, don't even tell your own team. Like, it's crazy.
They probably
everybody's got a teammate that wants to tell one of their buddies, and then their buddy knows somebody else.
You guys ever do this? Did you ever ask somebody, hey, how you doing? And it was one of the guys that was a detail guy, and he starts telling you about everything. And a third of the way through his, all you wanted to know is, are you doing better or not? And he's telling me, yeah, well, when I step on my right foot, my left heel hurts. And and then halfway through this discussion, you're like,
I don't care.
I can't wait to get out of here. I don't really care. I got to get my skates on.
Yeah. Like, so
those are the worst guys.
I used to play with a guy that said, he'd say good morning. He'd be like, it's not that good. It's like, how miserable are you to fire that one out? It's not that good.
And was he waiting for you to follow up and be like, well, explain to me why it's not that good?
No, you just move on, because there are guys that have a black cloud over their head, no matter if it's the greatest day on earth. They are just miserable as hell. I played with a few of them.
We had this guy who in Hartford who was incredibly quiet. He didn't say anything. And we also had a guy, Paul Lawless. I don't know if you guys ever played with Lawley. One of the funniest guys that I ever played with. He was a first-round pick by Hartford. But he'd come in every morning, and you'd have to walk through the room to get to where you changed out of your clothes. And he'd say to this guy every morning, big booming voice, good morning! The guy wouldn't say anything, and he'd go, good morning! He'd do it three times. The third time, the guy wouldn't answer, and he'd go, you're an ignorant man! And then he'd walk through. He'd do the same thing every day.
That's so annoying.
Oh. Just like to say hi. Yeah. That's all he wanted to do was pull a hi out of him, but he couldn't get it.
Was he European or Russian? Like
no, he was not.
That's
just
the
guy
thing.
That didn't say anything.
Just miserable all the time. But on the flip side, like, okay, dude, he's not going to say hi. Stop being annoying yourself.
No, that wasn't Lolly's way. He was no way, no chance.
He would double down. That's what it is.
Always.
I wanted to ask you, because we're going to get into this in a few minutes. We got Chris Spielman coming up, a former NFLer, and he's NFL on Fox analyst. But this upcoming weekend, Greg Olsen, who's a tight end in Carolina, he's injured. He can't come back until, I think, week 12. But they play the Vikings, I want to say, week 13 and week 14. He's going to be calling a game. He's in the booth for Fox while he's injured, and he's going to be playing later in the season. And I guess Minnesota's really caused a big stir here. They don't want him around. They don't want him having access to what the media has access to. So they've, like, filed a complaint, essentially. But Fox is driving right through that stop sign, and Olsen's going to continue to do it. But if I can recall correctly, didn't you do that, Ray? Weren't you injured once and you, like, called a game? Or was it at the end of the season? Or what happened?
I got traded to L.A., and got a call from ESPN, said, do you want to do some studio work for us, do the first round of the playoffs? I said, I've never done it. And they said, yeah, we think you'd be good at it. So I said, okay, sure. So I went and did it, but I was still playing. I played three more years.
Right.
But I wasn't doing a game. I did some color, actually, when I broke my leg in 1993, the year that we went to the semifinals. I did some color on the radio with the Islanders, but that's a local broadcast. I never went to the rooms. I never talked to anybody. I just basically analyzed what was going on in the game. But when I was doing it nationally with ESPN, that was a little different because you're commenting on the on both teams. And then my last year I was in St. Louis, so I'd done it for like 4 years in the playoffs. And there was a scrum, and Uri Fischer had me in a headlock behind the net. And Steve Yzerman skates by. He's like, "Hey, Ray, why don't you analyze that?" I thought he was going to squeeze my head off. And it was uncomfortable, for sure. I can't believe he's doing it, especially because football, they get access that we don't get. Like they have, because they're all national games. They're not, you know, they're not in local broadcasts for television in NFL. So those guys go in, they sit with the coaches, they get the first 10 plays of the game.
Right.
Like, well, and that's why when they say, oh, you know, not Tony Romo, because I think he's awesome, but he's doing it as a quarterback. But a lot of guys will say, oh, the safety's up tight. Look, they're going to run a fade route because they know what the play is beforehand.
Exactly.
I can't believe they're going to let Olsen sit in those meetings.
Well, I don't think they are. I think that has been restricted. I think that's why the Vikings threw out, you know, basically a red flag and said, wait a minute, because you're right. They get access to the head coach. They get access to the quarterback. They get access to like, there's no way you can have an opposing player in the room for that. But I think what they're concerned about is, okay, he's not in the room, but the two guys he's calling the game with, once they get up to the booth, they're going to be like, hey, take a look at this.
Yeah.
Like, so Olsen is going to have access to something that the Vikings probably won't want him to have.
Sure.
But I guess there's nothing they can do. They filed a complaint or they made their beef heard, but Fox is like, okay, we'll restrict whatever we can, but we're committed to it. Fox loves it because it's going to be cool to see.
Yeah.
A current player is going to be in the booth calling a game. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say, but it'll be crazy to watch him like 3 weeks later playing. This is an all-pro tight end on a Carolina team that is going to the playoffs and might play the Vikings in the playoffs.
That is.
I mean, what's he, you know, if he, you know, is Spielman going to share his notes?
He could. I mean, like, what's stopping them?
That puts Spielman in a bad spot.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, you want to do the game, you want to do your broadcast the best you can. But you look at it and go, oh, I can't tell them this.
Well, I guess you're right about that, but that's kind of like an honor thing where I'm sure the Vikings are going to be like, can you please not share it? And it's on him not to share it. And maybe Olsen will respect that. I'm sure he will. I think he understands this is a privilege. He's getting the opportunity. He wants to do it. I'm sure he's thinking about that next stage of his career.
Right.
Once I'm done playing, he wants to step into the booth and I'm sure be an NFL analyst, but I can't recall the last time I saw this where like an injured player mid-season who will be returning is going to call a game on national TV featuring two teams that aren't his own.
Yeah, I can't even think of one that would be. I mean, maybe if in the NBA, they bring in guys in the playoffs to sit on the panel.
Yeah, on the panel. That's a bit different when you say, I mean, that's what you did.
The panel is not like doing the game.
Not even close.
Not close. Especially for football with the detail that they get into. But if you're sitting there analyzing the game, a game analyst as opposed to studio guy, things are happening and you're supposed to react and tell people exactly what's going on, who made a mistake, why they made it. And now you're going to be commenting on guys you play against all the time. It's going to be, that'll be weird for sure.
Yeah, it will be. All right, it's Tuesday. You guys ready for the toilet seat?
Flush it. I guess I don't feel like laying a toilet seat on everybody.
Come on, flush, you bastard.
Toilet seat Tuesday.
I was just shaving.
All right, every Tuesday around this time, we go around the table. Who's got the toilet seat on? Noodles?
I'll go first. Unfortunately, Ray, this one may sting, but I think it's Team Italy, their soccer team. They've got to be wearing the toilet seat today. I don't even know if their manager takes the heat or the coach or the players certainly have to, but there are some black armbands. We talked about it earlier. There are probably some people in Italy that got sent home from work today because they were owly and the bosses just didn't want them around.
I'm going with James Angelo, the loser on the subway, who was acting like a tough guy, but now he's loving fame.
okay, you got to explain the story. It was beside LeBron James. Yes. LeBron was taking a video. He had asked LeBron to stay in his lane multiple times because LeBron was infringing on his liberties on the subway. Yeah, no one wants to be on that train.
Now he has all the time in the world for talk shows and radio shows and whatever else he needs. Now he loves it.
Well, I don't know if he loves it, but he's willing to pick up the phone and talk about it.
I'm just saying the guy's a loser. James Angelo's got a toilet seat.
The local train rider in New York apparently has the toilet seat. Ray, do you have anybody?
Yeah, I'm going to go with just the NHL. Last night's the Hall of Fame. What the hell are the games for?
Right.
Yeah.
Seriously. It seems to be more and more people are complaining about it, but just stop it. Have a dark night. Everybody in the hockey world is focused on this. Make it a bigger event. Make it a better event. Mm-hmm. Make it more focused. They get the toilet seat for that.
I'm going to go with Conor McGregor, who recently made an ass of himself by running into the octagon after a fight and caused a big stir.
That was ridiculous.
Like, his ego is so out of control.
And then pushed a ref, too.
Well, exactly. And there had been previous beef, I guess, between him and the ref. Yeah. But the ref's just doing his job. I'm sure he knew it was McGregor, but if some other idiot jumps in there, of course he's got to push him away or tackle him. That's a security issue. Yeah.
Well, didn't he want to congratulate a guy? And the guy that he wanted to congratulate looked like he wanted to kick his ass, too.
Of course he did. Have respect for the other guy that just lost.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like it if that was you in that situation. And I think his buddy was kind of like, dude, you know what you're doing. You're stealing my limelight by being the hero, Conor McGregor, so everyone's going to talk about you. So, complete toilet bowl routine. Apparently, he's been taken out of a future UFC event that he was supposed to be in, I think,
in
December.
Well, he apologized today. Did you see that?
Yeah, of course, because UFC is like...
And plus, it's money. Like, he's taking money out of his own pocket by doing that.
Yes, he is. Anyway, there you have it. Every Tuesday.
That's a good room of toilet seats right there.
Yeah.
It is.
A variety. The NHL as a whole. Italy as a whole. The whole country.
Plus, you bastard.
I just feel bad. There are some people that are really, really upset about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a travesty, man. Not going to the World Cup, it's not going to be the same. I've never seen it in my lifetime.
It's not good.
They'll fix it the next time around. Yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll see about that. The Euros are only 3 years away. Should be fun.
That's going to come quick, eh?
Oh, yeah. All right, buddy. Good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Later. Talk to you then.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiant.com. Financial.ca. I've got some other Conor McGregor news we'll tell you about later in the afternoon. Again, we're doing the Leafs versus Oilers party giveaway. TSN 1050 invites everyone down to the Pint downtown December 10th for the Leafs versus Oilers party. And we're giving away VIP tickets day in, day out on Leafs Lunch and here on Overdrive. We're going to start that on this show later this afternoon. So tune in to find out how and when you can win that. We'll get back into the NFL as Cam Newton into the MVP race. That conversation next. Raptors in Houston tonight. We'll tee that up later in the afternoon. Will not be an easy outing for the 7-5 Raps. Monday nighter last night, Cam Newton and the Panthers just laid a beating on Miami. Jay Cutler just keeps plugging along, collecting checks. He's going to make his money. They're not going anywhere, but Cutler's going to get his. And Cutler was supposed to be a part of the Fox crew this year. And then he decided to pull the shoot on that because Miami offered him like $10 or $12 million to step in and play when Tannehill went down. And I guess at some point Fox decided, you know what, we got to get Greg Olsen in the booth. Since he's injured, he's not scheduled to return until week 12, and he's going to be a big part of their broadcast this weekend when the Rams visit Minnesota.
I'm shocked that they would go for a current player.
I'm not shocked Fox would. I'm shocked that Carolina would let him do it.
Yeah, I don't know how it happens. Like, it's bizarre to me.
Well, let's bring in a guy who works for Fox. He's an NFL on Fox analyst, four-time Pro Bowler himself. Here is Chris Spielman. How you doing, Chris?
I'm well, man. How are you?
We're doing well. I mean, what do you make of this? When you were playing, would you ever think of stepping in the booth while you were injured?
No. But that's me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just, if you're asking me, no. But I think that, obviously, Greg is preparing for life after football, and I don't even have a problem, I guess, with Fox doing that. I just maybe ideally, if they could do it all over again, I'm not sure they would put him on in an upcoming opponent's game, which he'll be active for, or possible playoff opponent with the L.A. Rams. So maybe there's an AFC game that they have at some point where maybe would be more suited for Greg. But, you know, those are decisions that guys make. And, you know, I know I've been on broadcasts where I've done Vikings games where some people were concerned that I was calling a Vikings game because of the situation. I don't know if you guys know, I'm sure you're aware, my brother's the general manager of the Vikings. And so I know that some people express concern, and I talk to those people and say, look, I would never, ever put his job in jeopardy or my job in jeopardy. I'm a professional first and foremost, and we don't put each other in a difficult situation that would ever put anybody in an uncomfortable position. And I would never, I couldn't do that. And that would be a direct attack on my own integrity and something I'll never do.
I think it would be very difficult for a current player. Sometimes you got to be critical doing that job. Somebody screws up, makes an error. You're currently in the league, and you're either going to face these guys sometime or another. How can you be honest and critical of a situation when you got to play against these guys?
It's a difficult job. I mean, it's a lot of people think you can just, all right, go up there and do it. But there's people talking. You guys know this. You're talking and making a point, and guys are talking in your ear. And, you know, I think one of the things that I pride myself in doing is I think I'm very honest. I really don't care what people think. I get paid to say why something happened, not what happened. Your eyes tell you what happened. I do my very best to always say why something happened. And if it means to be critical, then you have to be critical. And I think if you're too close to the game or too close to players, I think you're right. That can be an issue, or you feel uncomfortable doing it, where I could care less.
With four-time Pro Bowler, NFL on Fox analyst Chris Spielman, the Panthers went off last night. Cam Newton throws for four touchdowns, 250-plus yards in the air, ran for 95. I mean, this guy is in beast mode right now, and there's so much focus on the MVP because all these superstars that are injured. And with Rodgers out, Deshaun Watson was making a case. He's out of the mix. I think clearly Brady's a front runner right now. Carson Wentz is a front runner. I think Jared Goff deserves some love. But when do we start talking about Cam Newton in the MVP race?
Well, I think I think that's a direct in relationship with how your team's doing. I think Carolina had a few bumps and stumbles, and you know, we'll have to see how this finishes. I do think because of the superstars being out and the guys that you mentioned, that can be certainly an issue. But Cam is at his best when he's a run threat. If you're going to ask Cam to throw the ball 50 times, he's not going to. But when he is a two-way threat and they have that zone read in there with him, he'll kill you. I mean, he's a freak athlete, and he's good enough to hurt you with his arm, but he's not going to. He has to have the element of the run game, because with him running the football and by formation, he dictates the defenses of what you play and what you call. And anytime he sees man coverage, and he sees that, and he'll take a throwing lane and turn it into a running lane, and the whole defense's back is turned, and he's off to the races. And he's such a great athlete that he does a lot of damage.
He did that last night. He had that, like, 60, 70-yard run where there wasn't anyone close to him. And that's a quarterback. Like, that is – Brady would just throw it away. He'd be like, I'm not even going to attempt that. Like, this guy ran for 60 yards untouched and then didn't even, like, slide when he realized the tackle was coming there. He's like, I'm going to try to get it to the house. Like, I don't think you can change his mentality even if you wanted to.
No. Well, I think they tried to, and I think he actually tried to change a little bit, but he can't function at the level that he needs to function, and the Panthers can't function at a high level unless he absolutely uses his legs, because it makes it so difficult to defend when you have a running quarterback. And I'm, you know, being a former defensive player, I know. I mean, what you have to do is either you have to kind of keep a linebacker or somebody that can run and do the old spy technique where you act like you're blitzing but you don't blitz. So when you do that, though, the problem is you take an extra man out of coverage. So he does present a lot of problems. He's just a superior athlete and an adequate thrower, but a great runner.
The team he beat up on last night, the Miami Dolphins, have now lost three in a row. The Bills got spanked for a second week in a row. The Jets went into Tampa. The Bucs have been very, very underwhelming this year, and Winston wasn't even playing. They got Ryan Fitzpatrick in there. and the Jets lose 15-10 to Tampa. I mean, I look at this division, and people were hopeful that maybe this was the year the Pats came back to earth or the other team started to rise up. But it's going exactly the way it has for 15 years. The Pats are going to run away, and the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets are just going to melt. I mean, can you see it any other way? Can you see any of these three teams, Buffalo, Miami, or the Jets, actually turning things around here and chasing New England?
I don't think they're going to catch New England. I think you can be competitive. And you know, the NFL is crazy. I mean, there's games where how did this happen? We have no idea. So you never know what's going to happen. But, you know, the one common denominator, and I'm sure you guys agree, I mean, it's a quarterback league, right? We all agree with that. So you have Tyrod Taylor, who's, you know, he's a mid-level starter. You have Jay Cutler, who was supposed to be doing the job that I do, and he's coming out of the booth in the training camp. Then you have Josh McCown, who's been in the league for 18 years or 19, whatever it is, 38 years old and has played on 8 different teams. So you're going to ask those guys to compete with a healthy Tom Brady and be the same team? It ain't going to happen. So you look at the teams and you look at the quarterbacks, and the teams that have the great quarterbacks or the quarterbacks that are playing at a very high level, they're going to have success. That's just the way it is. It's always been that way.
If you had to choose an MVP today, is it just hands down Brady, or is there anybody else?
I think there's a couple guys come to mind, and I think Brady, obviously, but I can't even think of Carson Wentz at Philly. I think you can make an argument for Matt Stafford, depending on how they end up. I think you can make an argument even for Case Keenum. I mean, when Case Keenum, you look at his numbers, I don't know if you guys have this, I think Adam Schefter had a tweet out today that Case Keenum has better numbers than Tom Brady, statistically speaking. So, you know, if you're going to make an argument for that, you might as well make an argument for Keenum. It's just best to let the season play out, and we'll see where it goes. But, yeah.
We still got a lot of season left. Lots of things can change, man. Lots of trials and tribulations still left to be played.
Hey, can I ask one quick question?
Yeah, man.
Did any of you guys win the Lady Bing Trophy?
We got a guy that's retired for a long time, and he's still suspended in the league.
I was a goaltender, and I had an incident right at the end of my career, so I'm still suspended. But no, I wouldn't. Goalies can't win the Lady Bing, and I am. I still owe the league 4 games. They'll never get them from me.
Okay, all right, good. Because I'd have to end this conversation if you won the Lady Bing.
You got no time for the Bing.
No, you know, a good friend of mine is Luke Richardson, who's an assistant coach. Yeah. Islanders now, and I always used to ask him every year because he played in Columbus here where I live, and I used, hey Luke, are you in the finalists for the Lady Bing? And boy, that didn't seem to go well with Luke. I don't know why.
The rattles cages, man.
Yeah.
Not one that a lot of players happily support that they've won the Lady Bing.
No. I told that as for Nick Foligno that too.
No,
he
ain't winning it either.
He wanted to drop the gloves.
No.
Oh, good. That's good. Okay. Dude.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that on this show. No Lady Bing contenders. Thank you, Chris.
I hope I don't offend the people of Canada.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, never.
Okay.
We don't talk about that award very much, believe me.
All right, good, man.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. God bless you. I appreciate it. Take care.
4-time Pro Bowler, NFL and Fox analyst Chris Spielman, taking runs at the Lady Bing.
You know who could win it? Matthews.
He'll win it at some point in his career,
and it's not a slight.
He's got one penalty.
It's not a slight. He had it, and it's because of how much
one penalty.
Yeah, he got the tripping where he let a stick go. It was kind of a half little can opener that got away from him. Yeah,
last year he would have been in the running too. He only had like 10 or 12 penalty minutes.
It's funny because of the perceived name.
Well, it's perceived that you're soft or you don't
ever. But that's not the case.
Well, what it's also become is it's almost like a runner-up kind of Hart Trophy type.
Well, runner-up for something.
It's like an unbelievable year that you just fell short of being in the conversation for the Hart, and there you go.
Yeah, but you can't have 200 penalty minutes and win the Lady Bing.
Right.
I understand that. But it's generally, I see it, I don't see it as a guy that's soft or doesn't compete or whatever. It's somebody that's recognized as having an unbelievable year.
You're right. And to me, Ryan O'Reilly is a guy who, like, plays hard, but there was, I think it was 2 years ago where he went the longest time without a penalty. And I remember I was calling a game, and I asked him about it. He said, you know what I do is when I go into scrums and go to hit somebody, I always focus on having my stick down. Because he said a lot of times you get hit and the stick comes up.
I don't think it's an award guys want to win.
No?
I don't, because of the reputation of it.
Well, like you look at Ryan O'Reilly's career. I'm looking at it. 4 minutes, 2 minutes.
It's not
12
that
minutes.
He wants to take penalties, but if they call him up and said, hey, we're going to give you the Lady Bing, I could see him being like, no, it's okay.
He won it in 13, 14.
Give it to somebody else. Brian Windhorst from ESPN on LeBron and the Knicks and what's going on with LeBron's Instagram account. And is there a chance he could be a New York Knick this upcoming summer? And Bob McKenzie in studio at 620. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, we're inviting everyone to TSN 1050's Leafs versus Oilers party December 10th at the Pint. Bring out your friends and cheer on the Leafs as they face off against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. We're also looking for 38 VIPs who will have a shot at leaving the Pint with Maple Leaf tickets or a trip for two to Las Vegas to see the Leafs take on the Golden Knights New Year's Eve. That's going to be a great giveaway. So you can win VIP tickets on Leafs Lunch and Overdrive every weekday before the big party. Again, that's December 10th down at the Pint. So the way it's going to work is I'm going to spin the ball, hit the roulette. Whatever number comes up, we will announce it. And that number is the one that you want to be in terms of calling in for these VIP tickets. You guys ready to roll?
Yep.
Let's do it. That is the spin. The roulette spin.
With an oh yeah.
With an oh yeah at the end. And caller number 16 is what we're looking for. Caller number 16 at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 16, you're picking up one of the 38 exclusive VIP tickets to hang out with the station down at the Pint on December 10th and give yourself an opportunity to win Leaf tickets and potentially a trip for two to Las Vegas to see the Maple Leafs take on the Golden Knights New Year's Eve, right there on the Vegas Strip. Caller 16 at 416-870-1050. Looking forward to that game. The Leafs play the Oilers twice in like a week and a half.
It is. And you were saying to me yesterday. Or
they did that last year.
Seems to be happening a lot.
They did the same thing last year.
Or first game in Toronto. In general, they're out west, and then the west team comes relatively soon.
Well, I mean, I hope Matthews returns on Thursday, but I definitely hope he returns for those two games.
Just your gut feeling, will he be there Thursday?
I think he's playing Thursday.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
he skated today. I think he'll practice with. If he practices tomorrow, I think he's playing.
He's in,
You know, I think they played it safe, which is a smart move in November. Why would you not do that? And they won without him. Bobby Mack in studio and Brian Windhorst on LeBron and what went down at the Garden last night. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.